God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Wherever we find ourselves, we meet together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. God our Father, glorify your Son in the lives of the people called by his name. Through no merit of ours, you have made us your own, to be your witnesses on the earth. Keep us true to the name we bear, that people everywhere may know that you are the God and lover of us all. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray that we may share the risen and ascended glory of Christ. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence, with the glory I had in your presence, before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I pray that I may speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If there is one thing that I found myself reflecting upon and talking to others about in recent days, it's our ability as individuals and communities to practice the virtue of patience. If you're anything like me, being deprived of knowing or doing something can be quite hard to deal with, particularly if you're prone to fearfulness and anxiety. Waiting for things can, for some, bring with it a sense of worry, feelings of trepidation about what the future will hold and what it might look like, especially when what demands our patience is seemingly out of our control or influence. We are all, I imagine, sharing such feelings at the moment, as in the midst of lockdown and continued physical distancing from loved ones, friends and neighbours, we share in being removed from those activities, people and tasks that we would otherwise be doing. Together, we have been united in sharing feelings of both loss and deprivation, however seemingly small or great they have been to us personally. Emotions that, of course, have been heightened by the grief, pain and discomfort that we know so many families and homes have faced so acutely. All of this reinforces our need for God's gift of patience, to be humble before him, so as to be enabled to cast all our anxieties upon him in the knowledge that he cares for us. There is a certain appropriateness, then, that our word patience has its roots in the Latin for suffering, a way of life often underappreciated that speaks of a willingness to face adversities in a spirit of hopeful assurance. This, as St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, is a hope in what cannot, for the moment at least, be seen, meaning we must wait for it with patience. It demands prayerful attention and consideration, not by glibly asserting that somehow better days will come with a blind optimism, but rather having real hope in those things that endure, which for us as people of faith means anchoring our hope securely and certainly in the person of Jesus Christ. It is for this reason that Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, remarks that as the body of Christ, the church needs to be marked by a profound patience, since only a church that is learning patience can learn to proclaim hope effectively. Such a patience is marked by a realisation that things as they are now are not as they should be, and that somehow with God's help, the future will be different, a hopeful future that will require our prayerful participation in order to ensure that we don't simply slide back into so-called normality, but see the arrival of better days for all, particularly the once undervalued and underappreciated, in the weeks and months and years to come. In Ascension Tide, this brief time between our celebrations of Jesus being taken back up into heaven and the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the need for patience is mandated as we remember how the earliest followers of Christ prayerfully waited upon God. Since his resurrection, Jesus had told his followers not to hold on to him as he was going to ascend to the Father, that physically he was not to remain with them forever, and yet would still be with them, that he would remain and continue to be alongside them for all time. The ascension marks then a point of departure, the end of Jesus' earthly ministry and the invitation to wait in hope for what had been promised for the future, the gift we celebrate at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would be poured out abundantly. It was something that had to be waited for, though, with patience and prayerful longing, in hope that all that Jesus had promised would come to pass, that despite the sorrow of parting, he would abide with them forevermore. All of this, as we read in our Gospel reading, Jesus had foretold on the night before his Passion, in teaching his disciples what would come to pass through his impending death and resurrection. A discourse that ends with the prayer that Jesus offers to God, commending his disciples and all that they will do to his Father's care and protection, looking ahead to the time when he will no longer be with them. "And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one." There is, in these words of Jesus, yet another call for patient endurance, that somehow his friends will need help and guidance if they are to continue the mission which he has begun. Jesus looks ahead to the time after the shame of the cross and his victory over the grave, when he will no longer be with the disciples, and so offers their future ministry to God as the means by which the world, through them, will come to believe. If Jesus had uniquely revealed the Father's glory on earth, then the disciples will continue to reflect this glory through their part in continuing the mission that he has begun, by which all might come to know the God who offers eternal life to all who seek, struggle, and yearn to believe. These flawed disciples were to be instrumental in ensuring that the gospel of love, animated by the life-giving spirit of Pentecost, would be taken out into all the world. Jesus prays for them, knowing that in time they will need God's grace and mercy in order to accomplish all that would be asked of them, just as Jesus continues to pray for his church today, asking that each of us in our own fear and unpreparedness might be the means by which he continues to bless the world. At the moment, we are all waiting to see how things will change and adapt in the coming weeks, what the latest government guidance will mean as we transition and prepare for a future that seems increasingly uncertain and unlike anything that we can imagine. Some will be impatient for things to get back to normal, others anxious that it will all happen too quickly and might bring further damage to lives and livelihoods. In a way, none of us know what is coming, not least because recent months have changed the world in ways we could never have expected, just as none of us can foretell what our futures will be like, even though we trust that by God's grace, our present anxieties will cease, troubles will end, and in time, all manner of things shall be well. All of this requires patience, a willingness to wait upon the Lord, so that our strength will be renewed and our lives filled once more with the gifts of the Spirit. Yet this is not a passive patience, which gives way to further worry and alarm, but rather an active patience in which we believe and understand God to be at work. He is not absent from our struggles, our sighings, our troubles or torments, but rather yearns for us to be renewed in the truth that he is always at work, persistently faithful, continually loving, enduringly hopeful. By knowing this, we can locate our patience, our waiting, our longing, our forbearing, with a perspective that promises something better on the horizon, offered as both a gift for our good and an invitation for our flourishing. The days that lie ahead can indeed be better than the ones that have gone before, as we learn to value what matters most about our relationships, our society, our church, our environment, and our world. Will we have the courage to patiently work for a day when the triumph of greed, injustice, exploitation, and a quest for profit might be replaced with the ideals of fairness, righteousness, justice, and kindness, which Jesus told us are the foundations of his kingdom. Will we play our part in ensuring that all in our communities are respected and valued, especially those whom so often the world forgets, using the faith we have received to reshape what we do out of love for God and our neighbours? It was for tasks such as these that Jesus prayed for his disciples, so that knowing the eternal life he promised, they might follow the example he had established. In the days between Ascension and Pentecost, they in turn prayed with patience for the strength, the will, and the means to do all this. As we in turn await the reassuring promise of the Holy Spirit, will we do likewise? Amen. Let us pray to God, Lord of the Church and of the world. We pray, Lord, for the peoples of your Church, those who you have called to hear and believe your word. Draw us all together in unity, inspired by the love of the Father and of the Son, to be as one in faith and hope and love. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for all the peoples of the world that Christ came to save, those who acknowledge his power and those who do not yet know him. We ask that his glory may shine upon them and may make them his own. As he has authority over all, may all who exercise power in any way learn the ways of his mercy and justice. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Protect those whom you have given us to love, to be our families and friends. Guide them with the grace promised to all who are your own, and help each of us in our own way, in word and example, to spread to others the knowledge of your love. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Come tenderly to those who, having heard and sought to follow, have fallen away and lost the vision that once they knew. Bring them back to the way that leads to eternal life. We remember before you all who are sick or struggling in body, mind, or spirit, all those who are weary, isolated, and afraid. Grant them healing and renewal of life. Strengthen them with the knowledge of your presence. We remember all those who have asked for our prayers and those whose need is known to you alone. Comfort, reassure, and give us all patience in your unfailing promises. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We remember those who in this world began their eternal life through faith and have now entered into its fullness. All those whom you have drawn from this life into your nearer presence. As they now rejoice in your light, so may we grow in grace towards that vision of unending glory, so that at the last we with them may see you face to face. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. All these things, and all the prayers we offer in our own hearts, we pray in the name of Christ, risen, ascended, and glorified, to whom be the glory, now and for ever. Amen. All these prayers we unite as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Christ has gone up on high and has led captivity captive. Alleluia. The Spirit of truth lead you into all truth, give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and strengthen you to proclaim the word and works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with you, those whom you love, and those whom you pray for, today and always. Amen.